This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Okay, real talk. When did paying someone back become social media?
What do you mean?
Like, say I want to see what you're doing and who you're hanging with, and you're not posting about it on your story. I can just stalk your pay app and find out what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's weird. You do that?
No, I don't do that. I use Apple Cash. It's built into your iPhone, easy and secure. You can send and receive money right in messages and keep it between friends, and then use that money to buy something at a store with Apple Pay.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Maybe. Shh. Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio.
And welcome to another feminist around the world. I got the name straight this time. Are you proud of me? Because I usually botch it up two or three times before we even start. But you know, we're going to pretend like I'm on a roll and just keep going with it, that this is how I am as a professional. So good, even though I did kind of stutter into this one. It's fine. But for today's feminist around the world, we are talking about indigenous activist Tarsila Riviera Zea. And again, as we always talk about when we talk about people we don't hear much about or from other countries, bear with us on the pronunciations. We try our damnedest to make sure that we get the pronunciation correct. But yes, we are still, I am an American English speaker, so we suck at accents. I think that's just an overall, you know, caveat to this. So Zea is a Peruvian Quechua activist who has dedicated her life for her indigenous community and for the Amazonian people of Peru. She was born in San Francisco de Pujas, Huacas Human Achecucho, and has strived to work for her indigenous community and for other indigenous communities around the world and in her country. In an interview with DVV International, she talks about her childhood and growing up as an indigenous woman. She says, "I am Quechua speaking, born in the community of San Francisco de Pujas, Huacas Human Achecucho. My parents died there. They died monolingual, and I'm part of a typical family from the community that, in the post-harvest stage, came to the coast to work on the haciendas to take back some resources for candles, matches, sugar, or salt. It is a community that is still on the map and in extreme poverty. I was monolingual and studied in public schools, which was characterized by having its back turned to the needs and culture of our peoples. At the age of 10, I migrated to Lima, where I learned Spanish and completed primary and secondary education, specifically commercial secondary school. I combined study with work as a domestic servant. I had a tremendous fixation on wanting to study. I had various experiences. Some were positive, like respect for my people and identity. I remember one man from Belgium, and he treated me rather more like a folklore experience. From others, I received discriminatory treatment. One of them wanted me to study at night because that was when domestic work studies, and I didn't want to because it was common knowledge that teaching was not done well at night. But the people who hired me told me, 'Why do that? You are a little Indian or Indiacita, and you will always be one.' Unfortunately, our society is exclusionary, racist, and prejudiced."
And she has been fighting for justice and inclusion most of her life. She talked more about some of the hardship and discrimination she had to deal with while growing up and how she persevered, saying,
When I was in high school, I was shy. I talked little so that they would not make fun of my Quechua accent. I also had a long braid and they made fun of me because of my Andean origin. And even so, I was appointed head girl of the school. I think it was because I always rebelled against injustice. I was also a member of the school newspaper and I became part of the Association of School Journalists from different public and private schools. And her work for justice has continued since then. In the 70s, Rivera Zea worked in the Ministry of Culture of Peru and would eventually go on to work as a journalist for the Pueblo Indio magazine of the Indian Council of South America, CISA. It was during this time she was able to collect stories and testimonies of the indigenous women who were sexually assaulted and abused during armed conflicts. And because of her amazing works, she was invited to study at the Institute of Social Studies in The Hague in the International Center of Education of Human Rights in Canada.
Yeah, she has fought fiercely for the rights and safety of Indigenous women and has not stopped. She told DVV International when asked about the Indigenous community, most of the women who left my community worked as domestic servants, many of whom have been able to study and become professionals. The important things for us who live in these communities are the opportunities to be able to exercise the right to a good education. I am convinced that all Andean and Amazonian Indigenous women can make great contributions to society, contribute to economic development, to the solution of the problems that our country has. For that to happen, we must ensure conditions so that we can exercise our rights. The right to an education that recognizes our languages and cultures and an intercultural education has always been my banner of struggle and aspirations. Something is moving, but slowly.
And she has parlayed what she had studied as what she saw as a need for her community into a nonprofit she founded with Juanita del Rosal in 1986 called Chirapoc. She told UNWomen.org, Chirapoc, the nonprofit I founded together with Juanita del Rosal, was born in 1986 to support the cultural reaffirmation of indigenous peoples with a strong human rights approach. Because I could not talk about culture without talking about its people, and its people were being discriminated, attacked, and killed. Indigenous women not only need the same opportunities as everyone else, they need specific opportunities to affirm their identity and become aware of their own rights. With the onslaught of climate change, unexpected and frequent droughts, floods, and severe weather conditions are affecting the production of crops and food security of indigenous peoples. Indigenous women, not unlike other rural women, are often farmers and in charge of feeding their families. Their livelihood and lives are at stake. As part of the Chirapoc programs, we try to ensure that indigenous women can cope with climate change sustainably, for example, by using organic insecticides, natural fertilizers, and resilient seeds, and by helping them develop a nutrient-filled diet with the food that they can access.
You know, this conversation reminds me of the conversation we had with the other conversations with different indigenous activists and how important it is to kind of go back to the foods of the indigenous people and how it is so important. And I don't feel like we talk about it enough. I mean, they talk about it. Mm-hmm. But the only time I even hear about it is when we hear interviews like this from indigenous women who come from that culture and community and understand sustainable food and resources.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's just going to have to be a one giant episode, I'm sure. And this is going to talk about how indigenous people could save us if we would only listen. But, you know, whatever. Anyway, along with Chirapoc, Rivera Zea also founded the Continental Link of Indigenous Women of Americas and the International Forum of Indigenous Women, which both promote encouraging and empowering Indigenous women around the world to become politically involved, again, all around the world. And she's still very active today, being involved with forums all over the world, including Nairobi, Cairo, and Beijing. She's the president of the International Indigenous Women's Forum as of 2022. In 2010, she was awarded the Order of Merit for Women. And in 2011, she was given the Visionary Award of the Ford Foundation. From 2017 to 2019, she was elected and served as an expert member of the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues. And BT Dubs, I believe she's still working closely with the UN, especially spreading the awareness and the needs of Indigenous women and rights. She recently spoke with Azimuth World Foundation in 2023 about the importance of advocating for Indigenous women and fighting against the violence and abuse against Indigenous women. And I think she talks about how COVID has affected their campaign as well. Again, this was just recent. You can check out their series called Connecting the Dots with an interview with her specifically. And she's speaking in English. I'm always impressed when I'm like, oh, my God, how many languages can you speak? That's amazing. And then I'm like trying to still learn Korean. It's fine. It's fine. I'm fine. But yeah, the work that she's done is obviously not anywhere near over. And she is continually traveling and speaking for the rights and the people of her community, as well as the indigenous women all around the world.
Right. Which means, again, I'm sure we will be revisiting her in the future. But as always, listeners, if you have any suggestions for this topic, if you have any resources, things we should have discussed and didn't, please let us know. You can email us at stephmediamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can find us on Twitter or whatever it is now at Momstuff Podcast, or on Instagram and TikTok at Stuff Mom Never Told You. We have a book that you can pre-order at stephyoushouldreadbooks.com. We also have an audiobook that you can pre-order too. And we have a Tee Public store, all kinds of things. Thanks as always to our super producer, Christina, our executive producer, Maya, and our contributor, Joey.
Thank you.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at a historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laughing as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.